Lesson from the epistles. We're going to be reading the gospel lesson during Lent, and we're also then going to be focusing on the epistle lesson. So you get to hear two scripture lessons in one Sunday. Hear now these words from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 22. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteousness for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. And he was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey when God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal from the dirt of the dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So the first Sunday in Lent is always a time where we celebrate Jesus' baptism and the time that he goes out into the wilderness to be tempted, okay? And we all know those stories very, very well. And we know that in that stories or in those acts in the Bible, that Jesus kind of goes head to head with the devil, right? That the devil has a certain idea of how Jesus should function and promote himself in the community. And Jesus returns with kind of a counterpunch and says that this is what really should happen. And in the end, it becomes very obvious that Jesus is the one who is in the right, and that he is the one who will win out in the end. But that's just round one. There's a lot more to come. Remember the rest of the story as we continue to think about and reflect on those last events in Jesus' life in the coming days. And this battle with Satan keeps going on through the evil on the cross. Remember that? And if you think that that might be the end of it, then there's at least one source, the scripture that I just read for you, that says that the battle goes on even after Jesus died. We all know that the battle goes on today, don't we? We see the events of last week. And we know that there is true evil in our world today. But through Christ, we overcome that. Now, the passage that I just read for you is probably pretty difficult to understand. It's one of those passages that has great message, but it's kind of hard for us to pick it out. And in fact, the authors of Christian commentaries and Bible scholars don't all agree as to what the message should be from this particular passage. And it especially revolves around those words that say spirits in prison, that Jesus went down and worked with the spirits in prison during that time between when he was crucified and resurrected. Now, most biblical scholars think that that is talking about how the gospel was proclaimed even to the dead. That's what it says in 1 Peter 4. For those who have ever wondered what Jesus was doing from the time he died on the cross to the time when he rose from the tomb? The answer was, according to this particular passage, he was spending time with all the other dead people, not just to visit, but to share the good news with them. This doctrine is one that the church has taught for a long time. If, in fact, one of the versions that we do of the Apostles' Creed says that he descended to the dead. It's not the one we do traditionally, but it is there. Peter's letter was written in a time when Christians were convinced that the end was rapidly approaching. In fact, most of them believed that Jesus would come back in their lifetime. And it would all be over, and that they knew that time was running out, and there wasn't going to be time to fulfill the Great Commission of going into all the world, and there was no way every person in every corner of the earth was going to be reached with the gospel. So what does that mean for those who never had the chance to hear? Well, Peter's letter seems to say that even after death, God is going to give them the opportunity that they might have missed. Another commentator says that it may also be that the spirits in prison that Peter is referring to in verse 19 have some connection to the people that he mentioned in the next verse. Those in former times did not obey when God waited patiently in the days of Noah. We all know that in the story of Noah and the ark, that there were some people who were saved and some people who were not. And the ark was a symbol of salvation. It rescued 8 people. And for Christians, Peter says the counterpart to the ark is baptism, which is one of our sacraments. It is through baptism that we are rescued. We see that in the baptismal liturgy, where we talk about the story of salvation, and where the person being baptized, if they can answer for themselves, are asked, or who say that they are joined with Christ and that they are able to be a part of the fellowship and the relationship with Jesus Christ. For babies, the parents answer that question. Do you renounce the forces of evil so that you can have that relationship with Jesus? And the answer is yes. Romans 6 says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead in the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like him." We've all been baptized. We've joined ourselves to Christ. We participate in his death and in his resurrection. Baptism is central to the life of a Christian, not because it is some magical ritual that changes us into different people, but because it joins us to Christ and to his victory over sin and death and power of the devil. Christ's victory becomes our victory too. So this morning we've looked at those things that the commentators say, and it's all pretty complicated. It's all pretty difficult to understand. So I want to make it simple this morning, and I'm going to share with you very simply what I think this passage from 1 Peter is saying to us today. We don't have the last word when it comes to God's grace. Praise God, Christ has the last word when it comes to God's grace. There is no person, no one who is beyond the scope of God's grace. Not even the young man who did the shooting in that school. Even death can't separate us from the love of God. There is no place you can go where God will not come after you and try to woo you back into His family and into His relationship. There is no place where God won't pursue you. Even if you die. Psalm 139 says it this way, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, which is down below, you are there. And if I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast." When I was a little girl, we learned a song in Sunday school, and it's "Deep and Wide." How many of you know that song? Yeah, I'm old, I know. Deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. We sing about the wideness of God's mercy, but we can't even begin to understand how really wide and deep it is. It goes beyond anything that we can imagine. We recall the words of Jesus when we have the holy meal together, which was shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sins. But we can't even begin to understand who the all is that Jesus is talking about in that promise. This morning, the best thing that we can do is to allow God's grace to come into our lives and to transform us and to make us into the people that He has called us to be. And to trust that God, the God whose grace knows no limits, whose grace is there for everyone, whose grace is higher and lower and wider than anything we can think about, is here and will be with us forever, even into the next life. We have a very special gift today. In the midst of all the difficulty we see in our world, in the midst of all the tragedy that goes on around us, we have a gift, the unmerited love of God. Do you feel it this morning? Do you take it out into the world and share it with other people? That is our call. And I believe that that is the message of 1 Peter 3. God's grace is for everybody. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, there's so many things in this world that we can't describe, we don't understand. But there is one constant that we can lift up before you today, and that is that you love all of us. And even when we sin, you still love us. Lord, help us come before you now and confess our sins, that we might live in perfect love and harmony with you. In the name of Christ, amen. It is Communion Sunday, and what better way to celebrate God?